Now today, we are going to begin our third sermon on the same text. It advanced a little bit this morning. We read a new part of the story that we haven't read over the last 2 weeks, but trust me, it's still the same story. So let me take a minute to remind you of the situation which Jesus faced in the Bible passage set before us today. Jesus had cast a demon out of a man. It was a spirit that caused the man to be mute, but when the spirit was gone, the man could speak, even though before he had not been able to talk. And the Bible says that the crowd, the people who were watching Jesus and saw what happened, were amazed by it. See, even in Jesus' day, such things were not common. They didn't happen every day. The people seeing what happened before their eyes could literally not believe what they saw. In the words of the Bible, they were amazed. Now, I got to tell you, I watch you during worship from back there. You don't think I'm back there, do you? You don't, no, you're not paying any attention. Some of you need to get a little amazed, okay? I love that attitude in worship. Go ahead, impress me. Some of you have that attitude today. You need to relax. Let God amaze you. He's about to. Watch it. The religious authorities could not believe, they could not do what Jesus did. They probably were a little bit jealous because they and their disciples were not able to cast demons out. After all, the guy had been with them, the guy who had the spirit had been with them for a long time, and they had never been able to make him well. Jesus did it in an instant. Okay, they couldn't do what Jesus had done, so they told the people who were amazed by what they saw Jesus do that Jesus had done what he did by the power of Beelzebub. That, by the way, is another name for Satan. They said that he cast out demons by the power of Satan. And Jesus took some time in the passage that we read last week to explain how that was absolutely impossible. He said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." What he meant was, if Satan's casting out his own people, you don't got anything to worry about because it's a stupid policy, and ultimately, Satan's kingdom will fall all by its own. But the problem was that these were the religious authorities whom the people in the crowd, though amazed by what Jesus had done, had been taught to trust. They trusted those people because they were the respected religious leaders of their community. So the people asked Jesus to give them a sign that would prove to them that he was from God and not from Satan. You'll find the request way back in Luke chapter 11, verse 16. That's the part we read the last two Sundays. Now, the dilemma is that Jesus did not respond to their request for a sign immediately. In fact, if you look at the way the story goes, it almost seems that Jesus ignored that request entirely. For they ask for a sign, and Jesus says nothing about it. He just moves on. He spends a great deal of time teaching them about divided houses and about spiritual possession. But he does nothing about their request for a sign until we get to the part of the story that Sharon just read to you this morning. You ready? Today's first lesson. Jesus never misses a request. Mm-hmm. Jesus is listening intently to you right now. And not only to the words that pass your lips, but to the thoughts that go on in your head. He's listening to you. He hears what you say. He knows what you think. He never misses one thing, not one word, not one thought. Jesus hears everything you think and everything you say. He never misses a request. Got it? And today's lesson number two. He will respond to you in his time. Did they write it in capitals? Oh, good. Yeah. See, I know how this works. Okay, I understand this full well. Those of you who know my personality will appreciate this. Every time I tell Jesus something, at the end of it, though I may not speak it, there is a little three-letter word attached. N-O-W. Now. Usually, it has an exclamation point. Because what I want is for Jesus to respond to me at that moment. I don't think he should ignore me. I think he should tell me what it is I want to know now. But here's the deal. He will respond in his time. When it is right, according to Jesus' perfect timing, Jesus will indeed respond to every request. Ready? Today's third lesson. He may not respond the way you want him to. This is the danger of prayer. In the text before us today, when Jesus finally got around to responding to the crowd's request for a sign, it was not the way they wanted or expected him to respond. First, he began his response to their request by calling them wicked because they wanted a sign to prove what he said. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want God calling me wicked. Okay? It was not what they expected, nor was it what they wanted. See, they had already been given a sign. By the power of God, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, had cast an evil spirit out of a man who could not speak and who afterward was healed and made able to speak. The sign had already been given to them. It had happened before their very eyes. It amazed them. But then they turned around, and on the word of various people whom they trusted, people over God, they rejected the very sign which God had given them. They refused to believe the sign that God had given to establish beyond any doubt in their presence who Jesus was. And that is what made them wicked. It was not the request for a sign that made them wicked. It was the refusal to accept the sign which had been given. Of course, that is not how they expected Jesus to respond. How dare he call them wicked? Who did he think he was? The Son of God. All they wanted was for him to do a little bit more to prove to them that he was who he said he was. Boy, are they dumb. None of us would ever do anything like that to Jesus. We would never reject the sign that he is giving us and insist that he give us a sign we want and can accept, would we? Oh, I love this little word in my text. Parenthetically, in italics, it says, preach. God has given me permission. I get so tired of having to deal with people who are being impacted by the Holy Spirit. God is smacking them between the eyes. God has shown them this. He has shown them that. He's trying to speak to them from his word. He's telling them over and over again how to live life, and they're going, I want another sign. I don't like that one, Lord. You can't talk to me that way. Who do you think you are calling me wicked? Okay? We would never, you and I would never, but some people do, believe it or not. They're sitting there getting sign after sign, and they're saying, I don't like that sign, God. You give me one I can take. That's what they did to Jesus on that day in the scripture. But we're not like them. We are always open to the message God sends us. We are always receptive to the way He speaks to us. We would never question God. And then He refused to give them a sign except the sign of Jonah. What Jesus said to them was that He would not give them a sign, any additional sign. The only sign they could expect from Him, from Jesus, was the sign of Jonah. Now, it always strikes me as this happens to me when I preach. I'll say one thing, I'll think it means something. Somebody will come up to me and say, you know what, blah, 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 you said that in the sermon? I'm going, no, I didn't. Okay, it's always interesting that people can hear exactly the same thing, but not always get the same message from it. I mean, sometimes in people's minds, the Holy Spirit tends to flip things around, and it comes out not exactly the way you thought you said it, or wasn't. They do that. And the fun part is that that's what happens in the scripture when it comes to the sign of Jonah. If you read this story in the Gospel of Matthew, okay, Matthew says to the people, just like it says in Luke, no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonah. And then Matthew explains that the sign of Jonah is that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, just as Jesus was held by death for 3 days and three nights. So what Jonah implies is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the sign of Jonah, and that no other sign but that will be given to these people. Now, I just want to tell you from my perspective, that M1 really powerful sign. I don't know anybody else who was raised from the dead. Some of, you know, they talk about those near-death things. The important word is near. Okay? Jesus was dead. 3 days dead. And He got up. That M1 pretty powerful sign. And do you know that there are people today who reject Matthew's sign of Jonah? Maybe you are. Maybe you're sitting here saying to yourself, Jesus never rose from the dead. He was a nice guy. He was a prophet, maybe. Maybe God liked him a lot, but He never was the Son of God and He never rose from the dead. People in our culture today refuse to accept Matthew's sign of Jonah. Powerful as it is, they reject it. But if you read the story in Luke, He takes a different interpretation of what the sign of Jonah was. See, it really, in truth, it's a much simpler explanation. He says, Luke says, he reasons behind the words, that Jonah was sent to the evil Ninevites by God to warn them and to give them an opportunity to repent from their sin. Now this is a beautiful explanation of God's love. He could have just gotten rid of those wicked Ninevites. But He didn't. Because He loved them so much, He sent Jonah to them to preach the news and to call them to repentance with the promise that if they repented, God would forgive them and set them free. So when you read Luke's gospel, Jonah himself becomes the sign. He is the one who is sent to the people of Nineveh to demonstrate God's love. His person is the sign. Jonah himself, according to Luke, is the sign of Jonah. And there, standing before the people to whom He spoke that day, casting out that demon, healing the sick, proclaiming the good news of God's love, was Jesus Christ, the sign. There stands Jesus, the very sign of God. Luke says that Jesus is the sign. And I got to tell you something. Throughout the ages, Jesus stands before us as the sign. He is the demonstration that God loves us. It's why he went to the cross, folks, why he died, why he took my sins and your sins upon himself and suffered and died on Calvary's cross. It's because he was sent to show us God's love. Jesus is the sign. And all of us who know it, say with affirmation and assurance, yes, Jesus is the sign. So here are the lessons. Jesus never misses a request. He always responds in his time. But he may not respond the way you want him to. Nonetheless, he always responds. Now let me finish the sermon by asking a question and by making a concluding remark. Is God sending you a sign today? Is he speaking his word in your ear? Is he trying to tell you something? Is he? Maybe it's a sign you don't want to see. Maybe you don't even like the sign. Maybe you want God to send you another sign, the one you want him to sign to send you, but indeed, he won't. Well, if that's where you are, then hear the words of Jesus. You wicked generation. You wicked person. No other sign will be given you. See, neither you nor I are in a position of dictating to God. Get this down. He is God. All right? He will speak to you in his time, and he will speak to you in his way, even if you reject the sign. No other sign will be given you. We struggle with that, don't we? Yeah, we do. Thank you, John. We do. Because we do indeed believe that we are so special to God that he ought to tell us whatever he wants. When indeed, because we are so special to God, he dares to tell us what we need to hear. And guess what? He, above all beings, knows what we need to hear. And he sends the sign he sends to us for a reason. Sometimes it is to shake us to our core, because we need to be shaken. Sometimes it is to confront us with our sin, because we need to be confronted. Sometimes it's the nice, peaceful thing that we so desire. But not always. And until you accept the sign he sends, no other sign will be given. He doesn't bend. We do. Is Jesus sending you a sign today? Surrender. It's your only hope. Surrender. And I want to tell you before I sit down, Jesus is the sign. He came to earth to show people like me and you God's great love for us. He is the way. He is the truth. He alone brings us life. The only way that you can come to the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son. Jesus is the sign. Oh, I am not the sign, folks. Though he has given me the privilege to stand before you and preach to you today, I am not the sign. And if you look to me to be the sign of God's love, you will be greatly disappointed. Though it's hard to admit and equally hard to notice, I am not perfect. And if your trust is in me, you will be disappointed and I will let you down. The church is not God's sign to you. Oh, God, help us. If you think the church is going to do the right thing under every circumstance, think again, because it ain't. You know why? It's made up with people like you. And if your dependency to prove the love of God to you is the people of God, give it up. You don't stand a chance. You will be disappointed. The church will fail you. Jesus is the sign. He is the one who laid down his life to save you. He is the one who came to earth for no other purpose than to demonstrate God's love to you. Surrender to Jesus. There is no other purpose.